this message. I don't care what you title it. God give it to me this way. There's a midnight cry. And I want you to think about that. The midnight comes, Brother Tim, right after the 11th hour. 11 o'clock at night, if you've not got in bed yet, you're probably coming up on midnight pretty quickly. What are you going to do with that? There was a cry made, and I want you to see this. There's three places that I will take us. There's many, many, many places in the Bible that talks about things that happened at the midnight hour. We're going to stand first to give reverence to the reading of God's Word in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, with the Lord as my helper today. I want you to think about your own midnight cry. What troubles you at the midnight hour? What joy or elation do you have at the midnight hour? You said, is there joy? Is there elation? Is there adoration for the Savior at the midnight hour? I'll show you that as well in just a few minutes. If we get there and God doesn't do something, take me out of here, call us on. Young people, you struggle with your own sets of darkness. You really do. I asked Macy coming up the road. I said, Macy, what does your generation face? Where is your generation? What is your generation's darkness? What is your generation's struggle? And we were talking in the car. She said, well, people my age and younger, maybe even a little bit older. She said, we're trying to figure it all out. Trying to, life's mate. Who does God want us to marry? And not only that, where will we go to school if we're going to go to school? If we don't choose the school, where are we going to work? All these things. Are we going to have children? All these things come to you. And if you're not very careful, young people, that can enshroud you in a whole lot of turmoil that you don't need to be involved in. But it's got trust in the Lord and His righteousness. Give your heart to Him because He's already got an expected end for us. Just trust in Him and let Him sort all that out. And then I go to my age people, the middle agers. What do we struggle with? Bless God, those kids that I just told you I talked to, you've got them. And they've got troubles, and that wears on us, and it weighs on us, and it troubles us, Brother Tam. You've got grandkids. You're in the next generation. And then you want the same or better for them than what you had. And the struggle keeps going on. And bless God, we always live in a darkness. Bless God, Miss Marlene, we do want our family saved. We want our kids to be raised holy and right. We want them to get saved. And then we've got our own sets of struggle, trying to pay the mortgage and pay this bill, set a little bit aside for a retirement someday, do this, do that, and then you've got the aged generation. Those that now have the white hair. And you've got your own sets of struggles. You've got there. You finally arrived. You finally set aside a little bit. You've now worked your years. You've got everything seemingly going for you. And next thing you know, it's doctor visit, doctor visit, doctor visit. New diagnosis, new pill, new medicine, new struggles, grandkids. And it all comes on you. And if you're not real careful, that'll start to weigh on you. But let me tell you, my friends, there is a brighter day coming. There is a bright spot in all of this. And you know what it is? It is the Lamb of God. It is Jesus Christ. Let's read our scriptures here. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus, in chapter number 12, and I'll just pick up the reading in verse number 4. It said, and if the household be too little for a lamb, let him take his neighbor next door unto his house and take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, I read that for one reason. Bless God, be concerned about your neighbors. Don't be so concerned about you and your house. Bless God, me and my four and no more. We're all going to heaven. That right there says, if your house is so straight or so tight, bless God, that the Passover lamb, it would be way too much for just you. Why don't you include your neighbor? Bless God, if God's big enough for you, Brother John, and there's more to the full for you and your little four, bless God, why don't you go get Brother Dane over there and invite him into your lamb? And they're going right into it. They're getting ready to eat the lamb. It tells how to boil the lamb with entrails intact. It tells every bit of it down through there, how to roast the thing. Right. And then it goes on down and it tells us what to do with the blood. Amen. These glasses are either filthy or I need a stronger prescription. I can't even see with them, so I'll just take them off. Verse number 7 says, and here's what they do. They shall take the blood and strike it on the top of the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And it said, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. He didn't eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, with head and legs, and with the appurtenance thereof. And then he says, and let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth of it until morning shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I want you to hear that. This night. And will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. And I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I go fast forward, and you could read down through 21, but I want to take up the reading in 29. If you'll read that down from 21 through 29 in your own time, he's given them again the instruction about their participation in the Passover. Verse number 29 said, and it came to pass at the midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as ye have said. I'm going to ask, if I can, Brother Chris, to bless our scripture reading. As you're being seated, I'm not going to go back and re-preach the whole story about how the children of Israel ended up down in Pharaoh's bondage and down into the land of Egypt. You can read that story for yourself sometime. It would just be too much, way too much for me to try to preach this morning. But anyway, the children of Egypt, the children of Israel ended up in bondage. And that is a type of us ending up in the bondage or the shackles of sin. Okay? Everybody that ends up in bondage or enslaved needs to be set free. Bless God, I want you to understand something. The word is used in 20. And then the latter part in verse number 30, it talks about the midnight cry. And here's what it says. It said, it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord. And then it goes on down. It said, and there was, in verse number 30, a great cry. Listen to me just for a minute. I won't be lengthy today. I just want to get this through to you. Bless God, there's a promise attached to the Passover. And the promise attached to the Passover, Brother Troy, was this. He said, when I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And bless God, Brother Woody, the Lord himself gave himself on the cross of Calvary, that if I myself would take the blood of the Lamb, that being the Lamb which is Jesus Christ, my substitutionary death, my sacrificial Lamb, the Lamb that John recognized and identified as being the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. If I would just take that preciousness of his blood and I would apply that to the lintel and the doorpost of my heart, bless God, if I would apply the blood to my life, bless God, Brother Tam, he said, I will not suffer that death destroyer to come unto you. But bless God, I will give you eternal life. And bless God, Brother Tim, I'm glad I got eternal life in Jesus Christ. Not by my goodness, not by my righteousness, not by my words, but because the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to my life. There's a promise in the Passover, Brother Grant, and it's nothing more than the blood of Jesus Christ. But see, there's a midnight cry right there. And bless God, those, I don't know, the Bible doesn't really tell this. But Brother Tim, I've always wondered, were there those of the Hebrew children? I know the Egyptians didn't believe in it. I know the Egyptians were, they were the taskmasters. They were the ones that were enslaving the children of Israel. But I wonder if there were some, Brother Chris, that sat back of the Israelite children and said, I'm not going to play this game. I'm not going to participate that. Bless God, a lamb's hard to come by. Me and my family's having it hard enough as it is. I'm making brick for the Pharaoh. We got a hard enough time, and I'm not going to take one of my precious little lambs, and I'm not going to take that thing and slay that thing. I'm just not going to do it. I wonder if there's anybody in that day in the Bible doesn't tell us, Brother Tam, but there probably were a lot of them that said, I'm not going to do that. We're barely getting by right now. I'm not going to take my best little lamb, not just any lamb, but the best one in my flock. And I'm not going to, on this night, take that lamb and slay. I'm just not going to do it. I wonder at the 11th hour if they second-guessed their decision not to take the lamb. Because you got to think, it said this night. And I say, I laid on that word, this night. He said it, yes, twice, this night. So I can only think about 9 o'clock that evening after some of them have eaten to the full. Brother Tim, they boiled it, they ate it, they did exactly what he said to do with it. They took the lintel, they smitten the doorpost and put it on the side post. Brother John, about 9 o'clock, some of them sitting around their belly all pooched out saying, whoo, that was good. And you know what happens? It's about 3 hours till deliverance. Because he said this night. Can you imagine, Brother John, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, husband looks over his wife and says, "You got your shoes on? Bless God, it's traveling time. Brother Kippy, it's almost getting out of here time," because the Lord promised us that on this night that the death angel was going to come by. And when the death angel comes by, he said, "You know what's going to happen?" He said, "All those plagues that would not make Pharaoh move, all those plagues and things that come on, the lice and the locust and all those things, they didn't move him. The frogs didn't move him. But bless God, this death angel that's coming, it's going to move him." And brother, we're just a few hours from getting out of here.
Amen.
But there were some in my mind, Brother Tam, that sat there. Brother Jody that sat there and said, "We got to take care of the family. We're not going to kill the lamb. We're not going to, surely not going to do that. That's weird to put blood on a doorpost. We're just not going to do that. I don't need any blood applied in my life. I just don't need that. So I'll just sit here." The Bible said there was not a house in the whole land. In the latter part of verse number 30, the Bible says, "For there was not a house where there was not one dead." It touched everybody that had not done what God said to do. But there was a promise in Passover. Bless God, Brother Jody, when the death angel came by and all those that were now suffering dead and their cry was going up before Almighty God, God was just in saying, "I told you so." And bless God, these messages that I preach and these messages that these other preachers preach, they will resonate in your mind, your heart, and your ears over and over and over. And bless God, if he called the church out of here right now, and bless God, you just saw a bunch of clothes laying around, but there's 8 or 10 or maybe 20 still sitting in here, and you're wondering, "Where'd everybody go?" You can't say I wasn't warned, because there's a promise in the Passover. There's a promise in that, Brother Chris, that if you'll take the blood and you will aptly apply it to your heart and your life, bless God. He said, "I won't suffer death to come unto you." Brother Johnny didn't just say, "I'll give you life," but he said, "I'll give it to you the full. I'll give you life even abundantly." In this Saturday evening of time, in this 11th hour of time, I'm wondering, is somebody so close to the midnight hour that if the Lord were to come back and claim his bride and say, "Come up hither," I then wonder, would you be sitting around with the deepest of regrets? Would you be sitting around saying that preacher was right? And moreover, not just was the preacher right, but that book was right. See, some of you won't believe what I say. You just won't. It makes no difference, brother, because that book says it. Brother Woody, that book doesn't lie. It's everything from the very first, in the beginning, to the final amen. It's all God and none man. Turn with me if you will. We got to keep going. Go over to the book of Acts just for a minute. I told you that there was a promise in the Passover. The only thing right there I'll say is you're finding your place in the book of Acts is this. If you've not trusted in the promise, we took a whole group of people over to Tri-Cities Baptist Church many times, and they put on a great big drama every Christmas. It's called The Promise. And I've never forgot that. It's a powerful, moving drama. It takes you plumb through from the birth of Christ, well, from early in the Egypt's land all the way through to the resurrection of our Savior. And the name of the play or the drama is called The Promise. Brother John, there's a promise in that Passover. Jesus Christ is your sacrificial lamb. You say, "I don't understand all that." Let me help you real quick and break it down to you. Sin requires death. Sin brings death. But Brother Tim, even as Adam and Eve clothed themselves with their own righteousness by making leaves to cover their nakedness, the first blood was shed. The animals were slain. God took the skins thereof and covered them. And it's took blood ever since. Jesus Christ is our remedy because God provided himself a lamb. Okay, the next time at the midnight hour that I want to bring in the midnight cry is this. I told you first about the promise of the Passover. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, I'm not going to be lengthy. I'm trying my best to hurry. Y'all just hang with me for just a few minutes. I know Chris had it out of here last Sunday by about 2 minutes till noon, but it's already noon now, and I'm almost done, just about a few more minutes. Brother Dane gave me a confirmation when he said that he loved this, that he's got, that he didn't know exactly when he lost his job. Y'all don't understand that. The man had just built a house and he's lost his job. He said, try not to worry about it, because he knew that God was going to provide. God's, brother, that peace comes by God. Now, I want you to see it right here. Bible said in verse number 25 of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. When was it? It was at midnight. What happened? I want you to see the peace of the prisoners. I want you to see that for just a few minutes. I want you to see the peace of the prisoners. Brother Chris, read before that, and you're going to find out that these very prisoners that are now singing and praising God, Miss Sam, hey, they have been beaten. You read aforetime, and bless God, they had stripes on their back. And brother, it wasn't no little striping of the legs like mama or daddy might have done. It ain't some striping of the legs like Clayton would do to me if he had a half a chance. Bless God, they laid those boys open, and they laid their backs open across a whipping post until the blood poured out of their backs. And those men were beaten, Brother Chris, and they just weren't put in the prison. They were put in the inner keep of the prison. But bless God, through all of their pain, through all of their struggles and all of their adversity, bless God, these men had peace in the prison. Brother John, why? Because at the midnight hour, look what they did. How they start crying out unto God and praising God through song. He said at the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Bless God, Brother Chris, can you imagine being a prisoner down, two cells down, and bless God, you're in there all shacked up. You're just waiting for the executioner song to be sung. You're waiting for the death angel to come marching by, or that guard to come by and say, come on, this is your day and we're going to kill you. Today's your day of execution. And all of a sudden, instead of the executioner song, bless God, you got two old battle scarred preachers down there hollering, amazing grace. And bless God, that's something that comes by God. There's peace in the prisons of our lives. Bless God, but it's going to take God happily applying himself to your life for you to understand that peace. There they are in the midst of the prison. Can you imagine them prisoners two cells down saying, shut up! We're trying to sleep! Amazing grace. Help me right there, Silas. How sweet the sound. Help me! He joins in as a chorus comes up from their jail cell. And prisoners down there saying, shut up! We're trying to sleep! And then all of a sudden, the ground starts shaking. Shackles start breaking up. The doors start flying up. There's some of them, Brother Tim, there ain't no doubt in my mind, some of them preachers say, hey, escape. We got escape. We got deliverance. Bless God, their deliverance was not found through Paul and Silas. Their deliverance was found in Jesus Christ, who shook the foundation of the prison. Your deliverance and your peace don't come from me. It doesn't come from this church. It didn't come from your job, or it would have been crushed whenever they said, we don't need you anymore. Your peace was found in Jesus. But it was at that midnight hour. How can you, when you get a diagnosis, when you get a failed job, when you have a miscarriage, when you have a teenage daughter or son that goes wayward on you, when you have all these things that happen, how can you still have peace? How can you still trust? I'll tell you how. Because it wasn't in the job. The peace wasn't found in that. I mean, there's people back years ago, and it was talked about the black days of the stock market. Jumping out of windows. That was a big sell-off here just a few weeks ago. And the newscasters were beating it back for us. So this is the kind of calamity that causes people to jump out of high-rises. And I'm thinking to myself, if they jump out of a high-rise because their stock market went down, they had a whole lot more than I did. They had a whole lot more to lose than I did. But Brother Chris, your stock market, your bank account, your hope ain't in that. Your hope's found in Jesus Christ. And he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't cause people to jump out of high rises. Bless God, you're up, you're down, you're in, you're out. If you're trusting in your job, Dane, guess what? When your brook dries up, you're going to dry up with it. Or you could be like the man of God. Said Elijah sat there by the brook, be sore, the brook dried up. He said, okay, I'm going to go with you, God. God had already prepared a widow woman down at Zarephath. Said, hey, there's a man coming, sustain him. Bless God, God's going to take care of you. But there was peace inside those prison bars. Go back with me. We got to finish up right here in just a quick minute. Matthew chapter number 25. I want you to see the purpose of a parable. And this is clearly a parable. No names are used. You say, well, could it be a real story? It could have been. Jesus is telling it, but most of the time he taught in parables. The parable of this purpose that I'm about ready to read to you is what I'm going to close with today. And it's namely this: if you're not ready, you better get ready. We are in the 11th hour. We are even at the midnight hour. We're right there, Brother Tam, at the precipice of his soon coming to claim his bride. We're right there at the door. And I want you to understand something. The purpose of this parable is to warn you that you're either wise or you are foolish. And if you don't know where I'm at, I'm right there at the 10 virgins. Don't you see the purpose of this parable is to get you ready to meet God, brother? The Bible said in that time, listen, it wasn't like jumping on a jet and go fly over here. The groom flies in, they get married, and all the pomp and circumstance of the wedding. No, it wasn't like that. Sometimes that the bridegroom would travel for miles and miles and miles by camel or horseback. The entourage would come, and the bride did not know when they might get there. You got to understand the biblical time. Brother John, they didn't know when that traveling caravan would get there. Then what happened? In the meantime, the bride must make herself ready. Because why? She knows not the hour that the bridegroom cometh. She doesn't know exactly when he's going to get there. We swing the doors open. The bride comes down to meet the groom. But guess what's going to happen in reverse? The bridegroom cometh. We being the bride had better just keep ourselves ready to meet him. Am I right or wrong? Let's read our scripture, because there's a midnight cry. It's right here. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 20, where did I say go? 25. I want you to see this. Verse number 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, but 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You see that? They've all got the vessels. Folks, what is a vessel? Amen. The Bible says, no, you're not. Your body's a temple. Your body's a vessel. You're a vessel. Some of the hands are marred in the hand of the potter, according to the book of 18, Jeremiah. We all got vessels. Some's got oil. Some don't have oil. You said, what's that all about? Read it with me. Don't take my word for it. Bible said the wise took oil in their vessels. Verse number 3 said the foolish took their lamps, but they had no oil. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Look at verse number 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. What was that? That was the midnight cry. And at midnight, there was a cry made. And I want you to see what happens. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. What's that all about, Brother John? Hey, the bridegroom's come to get his bride. Amen? Yes. Does the Bible say that the bride hath made herself ready? In other passages it does, but there were some that did not have the wedding garment on. Guess what? They didn't get to go. Here we are at the midnight cry. And I want you to see, this is a sad, it's a sad portion of Scripture for me. Brother Jody, we live in America, the land of the free, the land of opportunity, the religious liberty that we got. It's everywhere. I didn't subscribe to it, didn't even know it was on there. But brother, I found on my radio, my truck, it's got XM Sirius Radio. And there's some serious stuff on there. You can get cussed out by landing on the wrong channel, but yesterday I found channel 145. The Billy Graham channel. Airing messages from the early 60s and how he was warning America about a time that would come. This is on the other side of the Vietnam War, Brother Dennis, but yeah, he's warning America, don't get into that trap, don't fall into this. And he's warning America about sin and war and dangers and struggles. This is in the early 60s, and I find out that that man was surely preaching the truth. But it's a sad realization when you look back 50, 60, 70 years and say the men of old, brother, they were telling it like it is. Telling exactly like what was going to happen. Telling them how if you take prayer out of schools, then you subject the kids to lawlessness. This stuff was being foretold, Brother Kippy. They were telling us back then, preaching that. Don't do that. Supreme Court was under intense prayer from the right back then, Brother Tam, saying don't come down in 71, 72 when this ruling's to come out. Do not kill our babies. Don't kill the future of America. What'd they do, Brother Tim? They legalized it and said it's not a baby yet. We were warned. We're at the very Saturday evening, the 11th hour. Brother John, the cry could come at any moment at the midnight hour that would call us out of here. And bless God, there's a purpose in this parable. It is to warn you this morning to get ready. Here's what it says. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. When? At the midnight cry. The Bible said the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answer, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You said, what's that all about? Brother Jody, when he calls his bride home, the door will be shut, Miss Dot. That age of grace, the dispensational age of grace, will close at the event of the church's rapture. You should show me that in the Bible. I surely can. I don't have that much time right now, but go to Revelation. Read Revelation 1 through 3. You'll see the church age distinctly represented under the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. Then you see chapter number 4, verse number 1, said, and after this. What happens after this? You will not see the church mentioned again until chapter number 19, whenever we're coming back with him. Amen? The Spirit of God is going to be called out. That presence, that holiness, that drawing, the Holy Spirit's drawn. And when it's gone with the bride, brother, it's lawless. It's reckless. It's a time. The door shuts what it is. And now we're going to close out with this. The purpose of this parable is to warn you. Listen to what it says. Afterward, came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Can you imagine whenever the Lord shut the side door of the ark? The Bible said, Troy, am I right or wrong? Did the Lord not shut Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives? That's the eight souls that were on the ark. The Bible said the Lord shut them in. Brother, can you not imagine people on the outside saying, let us in. Let us in. Here they are saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And here's the warning. Here's the purpose of this parable. Here's the warning in this. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. As we stand to our feet, as Brother Scott would come tonight.